All right. Well, this morning we are sharing about, I believe it's the last message in the series of Living for Adventures with the Spirit of God. And I have encouraged you along the lines as we have approached this subject. We're really talking about the ministry of the Spirit of God and how He leads us into adventures. That's why we're talking about living for adventures with the Spirit of God. And it really ought to be, I want to encourage you along this line, it really ought to be our motto every morning when we wake up to say, hey, it's another day. I believe I'm in for another adventure. I believe that's the way it can be. That's the way God intends for it to be. And if we're walking after the Spirit, we can anticipate that on a daily basis. And we're going to have some kind of adventure this day. It might not always be a pleasant adventure. Remember one of the messages that I shared with you was about adventures in spiritual conflict. Now, spiritual conflict isn't always an enjoyable experience, but when you know before you get into it that you've got victory in Christ Jesus and in the name of Jesus, then you can go through those times and say, hey, I'm on another adventure, another day, another adventure. But today, as I shared with you, I want to talk about freedom, adventures in freedom, and how we can walk in this freedom in the Spirit of God or by the Spirit of God. Really, my base text for this message comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. This says, for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Yes, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now, there is another translation that I want to share with you that you probably have not heard of this translation before. It's called the High-Sounding Nonsense Translation. Have you heard of that? Anyone heard of that translation before? Well, anyway, their translation on this verse is, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is restriction. Okay, now I want you to understand this translation is not in printed form. It's mostly philosophic, but it comes from the world. And it's from Colossians chapter 2:8 that says, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. Now we might say, okay, well, I'm really good at avoiding the spiritual powers of this world. I know that there are demonic powers. Pastor, you shared with me about spiritual conflict. You talked about that battle that's in the mind, and I can deal with that. But look at it. It also says here that it comes from human thinking. So sometimes just natural thinking, not just reasoning naturally, is going to get us agreeing with this translation of high-sounding nonsense rather than with the Spirit of God or the Word of God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. But too many times our mind tells us or the world tells us, no way. If you're going to follow out, if you're going to be a Christian like Jesus wants you to be a Christian, say goodbye to fun. Your life's going to be all full of restriction. That's the high-sounding nonsense translation. Okay, now, someone is going to argue with me, and let me present the argument before you do it, okay? Someone is going to argue with me and say, but wait a minute. Jesus alluded to a restrictive life of a disciple. And I want to say, okay, but let's carry it a little bit farther. And I know here's the verse that you have in mind, right? Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14 says, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult and only a few ever find it. See, it's a narrow and restrictive way. Okay there, Pastor. See, I told you that if you're going to be a disciple, it's going to be very restrictive. Now, that's not high-sounding nonsense. That's the Word of God. It's going to be a restrictive pathway. Okay. Well, let me share with you something that I have shared with you a number of times, an illustration that is very helpful to me along this line, and that is to know that what would appear to be restrictions, what would appear to be guidelines or pathway, a pathway that's narrow, is intended for your freedom, not for your bondage. And here's that illustration I've shared with you. It's like how the Department of Transportation paints lines on the highway, not because they want to restrict your freedom, but they want to keep you safe. That double yellow line means what? Don't pass. Why? You don't know what's coming up over that hill or around that curve. Those lines are there not because they don't want you having freedom on the highways so that you won't get hurt, so that you won't end up in bondage. I mean, how much better to go home, get out of your car, and walk into the house than be in a hospital bed in a total cast, total body cast? The total body cast, I tell you, is much more bondage than getting out of your car, walking into the house. And you might say, but I want to drive on the other side of the road, and most of the time there's not anything coming. Okay, most of the time. You might get away with it now and then, driving on the wrong side of the road in the wrong place. But I tell you what, the more you do it, the more the chances are that you end up in an accident. And that's what God is saying with his, what would be called a narrow path, or even as Jesus said, restrictive. His whole purpose in that restrictive path is to keep you safe, to keep you out of trouble. Okay? You know, a person who says, but if I'm going to follow Jesus, then I can't be sexually active outside of marriage. Okay? Oh, you'll miss the freedom of sexually transmitted diseases. Oh, isn't that terrible? See, God's whole purpose in that is to prevent you from harm, to prevent you from destruction. Remember the outcome again, as Jesus described the narrow versus the wide path. What does the wide path lead to? Destruction, or, as it said in this translation, hell. Okay, which is better, hell or life, eternal life? Is there any question there? Do I need to answer that? It's kind of a rhetorical question. Does anyone need help with that? Hell, life, which is better? Life. Okay, I think we've got that settled. Okay, now the unrestricted path, do anything you want to. Guess what it leads to? Destruction, hell. Now, that's not what God wants for you. He loves you so much that he paints lines on the highway to keep you safe. He paints lines on the highway to keep you safe. Now, you know, I'm just going to be honest here with the reality that, you know, you can even drive on the right side of the road and you can become a victim of someone else's poor judgment. You know, like drunken driving or reckless driving. And they end up on the wrong side of the road because they don't want to follow the restrictions, and you end up being a victim, not of any fault of your own, not because you were at fault, but you become the victim. And sometimes it's that way in life as well. I mean, even like what I described as a sexually transmitted disease, you know, that you can contact a sexually transmitted disease by not being promiscuous sexually. A blood-borne pathogen such as AIDS can happen as a result of coming into contact with another person's blood, into your blood system. And there's children that are born with that as a result of parents that have been promiscuous. So I realize the reality that there are innocent victims. And that happens in life in a fallen world because of people in their poor judgment or people in their intent to hurt other people. There is that reality. But my point is why drive on the wrong side of the road when you can stay much safer on the right side of the road? And that's God's purpose. That's God's intent. That's why what would otherwise be called a restrictive lifestyle. And see, that's what people look at. They look at the lines on the highway and say, oh, Christianity is so restrictive. Well, you can respond to them and say, no, it's so freeing. It's keeping me out of trouble. It is keeping me from the harm and the danger that would happen as a result of me living this broad way that leads to destruction. Absolutely. And truth brings freedom. Truth brings freedom, and so that's why we want to live along the lines of truth, because that brings freedom. Now, here's another scriptural passage that we need to keep in mind. Proverbs 13:15 says, "The way of transgressors is hard." Okay, that's truth. If our intent and purpose is to live a lifestyle that would be described as the broad path, the wide way that leads to destruction, you're going to experience the hardship of that, of those choices. And so the way of the transgressors is hard. Let's just keep that in mind. Now, I would like you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. And I want to just share with you something here regarding living in the freedom of the Spirit of God And I know I'm going to kind of tread on dangerous territory here, because I just talked about guidelines. I just talked about the lines on the highway as being God's way of keeping us safe. But what we need to guard against is looking at that as just a bunch of rules. Living in freedom is not about rules. I would have you turn with me in Colossians 2 to verses 20 through 23. It says, "You have died with Christ, and he has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. So why do you keep on following the rules of the world, such as don't handle, don't taste, don't touch? Such rules are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate as we use them. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe bodily discipline, but they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires." Now, Paul is addressing the Colossians, and he's addressing an issue that they were dealing with. They were dealing with the big word is called asceticism, and that is do yourself harm, do yourself damage, or really punish yourself so that you'll be more holy. Really live under a set of rules, and this is where he's getting at. You know, these rules are not going to help deal with the evil desires that you have. But Pastor, didn't you just talk about, you know, God's guidelines and lines on the highway keeping you? So aren't those rules that we follow to keep us, you know, from harm, that kind of thing? Well, rather than looking at what God has instructed as rules for you to obey, this is what I want you to see. I would like you to turn back to, you can just take the notes there. Rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, denial, and discipline, but there are no help in conquering evil desires. Turn back to verses 6 and 7, and I want you to see something from here. It says, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." So what this is talking about, it says, let your roots grow down into him, and faith will grow strong in the truth. This is not talking about following a set of rules. What this is talking about is a relationship. And see, when we are connecting with the Lord Jesus Christ in a relationship where we are saying, you know what, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord. I truly love you, and I want to please you with my life. Then it's not about following rules. It's like you don't say to your wife, honey, the Bible doesn't want me to be unfaithful to you, so I'm not going to be unfaithful to you. I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm not going to go and cheat on you. I'm not going to commit adultery against you because the Bible says not to. You know what? A whole lot, you know, you might say, well, that'll keep me safe. That's okay. No. That's not going to help you with your evil desires. What's going to help you with your evil desires is to develop that love relationship. If you love your wife, you're not going to do anything that would hurt her that way. Not because it's a restricted rule, but it's because it's based on a relationship of love. And that's what I believe this is saying. It's, you know, it can sound really good. You know, rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, denial, and discipline. Oh, what a disciplined person they are. But is it based on a love relationship? Nothing wrong with discipline, nothing wrong with strong devotion. But if that's all it is, it's not going to keep you from harm, or it's not going to keep you from your evil desires. So let your roots grow down in him. So faith comes, and with that comes truth, and with that truth comes freedom. And so we're talking about not establishing our lives based on a bunch of rules. Now, I've got a really challenging question in our interaction time. I'm not going to go there now, but think of this. When we're talking about these rules, think that everyone's turned and looking at the, oh, what's the question at the end? Anyway, I want you to think about this. When you get to that question, come back to this and say, why not rules? I like rules. I think we should have rules. So we'll get to that more later. Okay, adventures in freedom in the spirit we're talking about in this message today, when we're talking about freedom, we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit and what the fruit of the Spirit will mean to us in our freedom. Okay? Fruit of the Spirit we see in Galatians chapter 5, bless you, verse 16, and then verses 22 through 23. Verse 16 says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." Okay, so here again, we're not talking about establishing a whole bunch of rules for your life. We're talking about let the Holy Spirit be your guide, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. But this is what the Holy Spirit produces in our life. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the nine fruit of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and God empowering us to live out our Christianity by the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but He also equips us with the fruit of the Holy Spirit that's going to make a difference in our lives. Particularly today, I'm going to show you how three of the fruit make such a difference in your freedom. Okay? God has made a way. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself here just a little bit. Okay, freedom from anxiety. Most physical and emotional problems result from the response of fear, anxiety, and stress. You know, Melanie and I were visiting a couple of weeks ago about some particular circumstances that are going on in our life. And I said this to her. I said, you know, God has made a way for us to live free of fear, anxiety, and stress. Now, we look at our lives, and if we're going to go to the translation of human reasoning again, or high-sounding nonsense, we would say, no, living in today's world, you cannot live free from fear, anxiety, or stress. It's impossible in today's world. That's the high-sounding nonsense translation. That's not God's word. He has made a way possible for us to live free of these things. It is not dependent upon the circumstances. See, in other words, you don't have to have everything going good for you in order to live free of fear, anxiety, and stress. It is not dependent upon the circumstances. It is dependent upon your response to the circumstances. All right? Here I want to show you that biblically. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. There is nothing that will give you more freedom than the truth. So let me share you the truth from God's word regarding living free from fear, from anxiety, from worry, from stress. Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Actually, I'm going to go ahead and read through 9. That finishes up that paragraph there. But Philippians 4, beginning with verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Everyone say anything. Okay, that's all inclusive. There is nothing excluded from the word anything. Okay? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Okay, so here's the notes I want you to see in this. First of all, again, the word of the Lord here is don't worry about anything. Yes, but here's where we want to go into our list of gas prices, food prices, reduced incomes, whatever. You know, these things will go through our mind and say these are reasons for anxiety. Does that fit? Is that excluded outside of the word of anything? Is gas prices outside of anything? Are food prices outside of anything? Are the next possible president outside of anything? Okay? No. So is there any reason for worry? Now, you might say, okay, there's a whole lot of people in the Gulf of Mexico right now that have reason to worry. You know, I don't want to be callous in this. I really don't, because, you know, we need to be praying for the people that could be affected by this hurricane. And again, I'm not attempting to be callous in this, but when it comes to life and a place of peace, free from worry, God gives us the way to receive that. Here it is. Instead, pray about everything. Pray about everything. And then the result of that prayer, it says then. See, there's an if then. This is a conditional thing. If we haven't done the part of praying, then we're probably not going to experience the peace that God has. It's conditional. It says pray about everything. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds understanding. Now, to me, when it says it exceeds understanding, to me that means that there is no rational reason for you to have peace now. In other words, the circumstances have not changed. But something changes on the inside of you. Where before you had fear, you had anxiety, you had worry about how is this going to work out, you were anxious about those kinds of things, now all of a sudden you have peace. Peace in your mind and peace in your heart. You don't have this battle going on in your mind anymore saying, how's it going to work out? How am I going to make this work? You know, we end up in that stress, fear, anxiety, worry because of natural reasoning. There's no natural reason for you to have peace, but you do now because you've exchanged your anxiety for God's peace. Then it says you will experience God's peace. Again, remember Jesus said, peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, give I you. In other words, the world can only, you know, give you peace for natural reasons. Okay, you'll have peace because of this. We'll make sure, you know, the world says, you know, that because of our welfare system, we'll make sure that you have food. You don't have to worry because we'll make sure that you have food. What if the welfare system goes to put? You know, where are we going to base our peace? Where are we going to base our freedom from anxiety? It's prayer and experiencing God's peace, which exceeds understanding. It says His peace will guard your hearts and minds. And so then He goes on to say, so fix your heart or fix your thoughts on what is true. And He goes on with that list, but that truth again brings freedom. So fix your thoughts on what is true. In Isaiah chapter 23 and verse 3, excuse me, chapter 26 and verse 3, it says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. If we will keep our thoughts fixed on the Lord, the promise of God's word is He'll keep us in perfect peace. Even when it's not dependent upon the circumstances, it is dependent upon our response to the circumstances, and we can respond to the circumstances no matter what they are with peace. And this is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of walking with the Spirit is peace. I want to share with you Melanie and a few other ladies in our congregation here were attending a healing class in Owatonna. And the author of this book, Henry Wright, the name of the book, A More Excellent Way, A Teaching on the Spiritual Roots of Disease, it was very helpful regarding the root of many afflictions or diseases comes back to this fear, stress, anxiety. See, God did not make us to live with fear and stress and worry. He made us to live free of that. And when instead we choose to live with these things, we don't have the freedom of health. We end up in the bondage of affliction because our bodies were not made to live with constant fear, anxiety, and worry. So again, many of the things that we experience are as a result of living with those conditions. Now, you're all familiar with the first response to fear. Now, I put up this graphic just to, you know, just give you an idea. But the first part of anxiety is fight or flight, right? We're familiar with that. When something, you know, comes up to us, you know, there is that natural response, either fight it or flee from it, fight or flight. Okay, but what happens then is that if we This can start the sensors of your body. That, you know, when you end up with that, that kind of a response to circumstances, it starts the sensors of your body. And, you know, like your heart rate goes up, blood pressure goes up, those kinds of things happen. However, if that continues, and when we live with constant fear, anxiety, worry, those stressors continue. And the long term is that it destroys your immune system. Now, these are some of the things that, you know, Melanie shared with me from the book that she was reading in this class. And so this is why a lot of us are living with afflictions, is because we simply have not eliminated the fear, the stress, the anxiety, the worry from our lives. We're living with it instead of without of it. We're living in bondage and resulted affliction in our bodies as a result of living with fear, worry, anxiety, stress. Okay, so what we need to do is we need to learn, again, how to exchange that for God's peace. And also, there is another fruit of God's Spirit that will help us to live free from fear. Fear's solution, 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." So love is one of the results of God's Spirit in our life. The fruit of the Spirit. Okay? So when we're walking in that love, we're going to be free from that spirit of fear. And remember, here it describes fear as a spirit. So, you know, we go back to our spiritual conflict, adventures in the Spirit of God, spiritual conflict. So, but it says in 1 John 4, verse 18, "Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love." So that fruit of the Spirit of love is going to prevent us from living in fear, walking in fear. The more we understand the love of God, the less fear we're going to have in our life. Angie?
I believe that in America we are given freedom, but we are given freedom to do what is right when we start. That's having discipline of what we do.
We have to be careful with our freedoms, don't we? Because our freedoms can end up putting us in bondage if we make the wrong choices. Like you say, not only for us, but for the other people that are around us as well. Well, here's another response choice. The fruit of walking in the Spirit of love. Another response choice is we see in James chapter 1. And verses 2 through 4. James 1, 2 through 4. "Dear brothers and sisters, when trouble comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." Okay, again, I describe this as a choice. When trouble comes. Notice it doesn't say if trouble comes. The Bible is realistic. It is not idealistic. It is not denying reality. The Bible is real. It says when trouble comes your way. But it instructs us on how to respond. It says consider it joy. Not because you have trouble. No one has joy because they have trouble. But we're to consider the outcome. It says when your faith is tested, endurance grows. And as a result of the growing of your endurance, you become complete. Complete and lacking in nothing. So again, this is a choice of response. This is not based on the circumstances. It doesn't say when trouble comes, ask God to completely remove the trouble, then you will have joy. It says when trouble comes, use it as an opportunity because your faith is going to be tested, endurance will grow, and you'll become complete as a result of that. It is a response, not based on the circumstances. It's based on your response. I'm calling this section here a joy house. The reason I use the word house is because a house is a place where we live. It's not a place where you just visit on occasion. Now, what I want to do is I want to contrast a joy house with a fun house, okay? We've probably all heard of fun houses, okay? And maybe you've attended a carnival where you've gone into a fun house. What kinds of things are inside of a fun house?
Unrealistic.
It's not realistic. You look at mirrors that make you look short and fat, you know, and that might not be, you know, realistic, might be, you know, but then if that is, then you get in front of another mirror, it makes you look tall and skinny. You know, it's unrealistic, and its intent and its purpose is to entertain you. And here's where I want to help you guard against the difference between fun and joy. You know, the world will present things to you for your fun or for your entertainment, but again, they can be deceptive or distortive kinds of things that says, do this and you're going to enjoy life. And in reality, it is a distortion. It is a deception. Do this and your life is going to head towards destruction. So we're talking about joy versus fun. We're not talking about a fun house. We're talking about a joy house. And a house is a place where you live. So you want to be living in joy. A joy house is where you live in truth. And again, truth brings freedom. A joy house, I want to describe it like this, is like intravenous medicine. And I'm basing that off Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, where it says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. Okay, a broken spirit, that's like a person who has lost their joy. And if there's one thing that I believe is characteristic of Christians is that they don't have much joy. They're looking at just enduring life, hoping for Jesus to hurry up and come back because we want to escape this dread that we're in. I'm tired of this world. I want to get out of here. And it comes all through your countenance and through your face, and it looks like you're just depressed and oppressed, and no one wants to be like you because you're such a sourpuss. That's characteristic of Christianity in our day, unfortunately. It's a bad witness for Jesus Christ. He wants us to live with joy, in joy, not because we don't have troubles, but because we're properly responding to those troubles. We're letting our faith be tested. We're letting our endurance grow. We're becoming complete and lacking in nothing. And when trouble comes, we respond to it with joy, not oppression and depression. Okay? Cheerful heart, that cheerful heart is going to be like medicine to you versus the fear, the anxiety, the worry, the stress that's going to steal away your health. Cheerful heart is good medicine. I should describe it as, instead of IV medicine, IS medicine, inner spirit medicine. Is cheerful heart is good medicine. Okay? And here again, it's another one of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit of walking in joy. Okay, after we pray, we're going to go into the interaction time, and here's one of those questions that I shared with you during the message. Why do rules not help us in living in the manner the Lord would have us live? What does help us? And why do we make rules for others? An example, our children. Why do we make rules for our kids? Now, kids are going to say, yes, no more rules, no more rules. Pastor's saying no more rules. Okay, but go back to what was our reasoning for no rules in Colossians 2. Okay, so that's where I want you to visit with this question. Okay, why are we so given to worry, fear, anxiety, and stress? And in what ways can we resolve these issues? And if walking with the Spirit in the fruit of the Spirit is the answer, how can we have more fruit of the Spirit in our lives? What particular fruit of the Spirit is most valuable to you, or in what areas do you struggle most with the flesh nature? Now, I'm not asking you to just put out all of your dirty laundry on the table. Now, there's an appropriate time for, you know, confession if that needs to take place. But you know, what areas are in your life are you struggling with? You know, maybe it is a challenge for you to trust the Lord for, you know, when the prices of our commodities are going up and that kind of thing, and your income's not matching it. Or, you know, what is, you know, what fruit of the Spirit is going to help you most? And just be willing to share that, have others pray with you concerning those things. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, may we take these words from your word, and as the word describes that truth brings freedom, may we receive another measure of freedom in our life, Lord, as a result of responding to your word, choosing your word, choosing the word of God rather than the high-sounding nonsense translation of this world. Lord, may we choose to function and operate in faith and trust in you and the freedom that that brings. Lord, may we walk in freedom because we are staying on the lines, Lord, within the lines of your narrow way. And may we experience, Lord, the freedom in our physical beings, our health, Lord, because we are rooting out the fears and the anxieties and the worries that would consume us physically. Lord, may we choose to live in the house of joy, not a fun house, Lord, of entertainment, but, Lord, a house of joy where we are experiencing the truth and experiencing your real joy, and it not only being a blessing to our lives, Lord, but also being a tremendous testimony and a witness for the life of Christianity, a life of walking in the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, we'll go ahead and dismiss you back for refreshments at the table and beverages at the back. And I really encourage you to, you know, don't just fellowship. Nothing wrong with fellowship.